Well, what a full morning we've had already. Thinking about all the things that transpired already in this service. We just follow Brother Aaron's counsel this morning. We'll be able to live out Brother Tim's message. And thank you for that family verses and song. What an inspiration. Some powerful ladies over here on this side of the auditorium with a lot of influence. God bless all you mothers today. I wish I could preach on Mother's Day this morning. God has not led me that way. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians this morning. Just share a few thoughts and then have a prayer and read some scriptures. God has laid it on my heart for many weeks now, only waiting for the appropriate time to share the message that God has laid on my heart. But for many months it's been there. I would like to speak on the subject of authority this morning. And the title of the message, I think I will call it Insights into the True Nature of Human Authority. And there I'm using one of the definitions of wisdom in the Bible. Wisdom is insight into the true nature of a thing. And this morning, we want to look at the wisdom or the insight into the true nature of human authority. And as I was meditating upon the precepts in the Bible about human authority, my heart united with the psalmist in Psalm 119. Have you been through Psalm 119 lately? I would recommend that you find yourself from time to time on your knees in your closet, in that quiet place, and open up your Bible to Psalm 119 and just pray it back to the Lord. It's amazing how many different feelings, emotions, commitments, determinations, desires all rise up out of your heart in one psalm. But as I was pondering the message today, again recognizing the beauty, the beautiful insights that the Word of God has for us, my heart united with some of the words in Psalm 119. Thy testimonies, O Lord, are my delight and my counselors. Lord, I will keep thy precepts diligently, says the psalm. I have respect unto thy commandments. Lord, I stand in reverence and respect at the commandments that you've given to me in this book called the Bible. I rejoice, O Lord, in your ways as in much riches, as if I just got a whole bunch of money. Lord, I am afraid of thy judgments, the psalmist says. I am afraid of thy judgments. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist says, what a beautiful prayer to pray, even this morning. My heart is broken, the psalmist says, as I long after your judgments. I have chosen thy way of truth. Oh, how love I your law, Lord. It is my meditation all the day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can see the way that I'm supposed to go out of your law, your word. You teach me. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes, says the psalmist. And on and on and on. The psalm goes for 176 verses, just like that. I would encourage you sometime to get on your knees and pray your way through that psalm. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. O Lord, this morning we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word this morning. We come crying to you, God. We join in with the psalmist who pleads that you would open his eyes. God, we pray that you will open our eyes this morning. Make me to know the way of thy precepts, Lord, even as we sit here today. Enlarge our hearts that we may run the way of your commandments, God, finding our hearts running with zeal in the way of your commandments. Lord, this morning we worship you. We worship you for your statutes and the glorious mysteries which lie hidden therein, O God. Lord, this morning we esteem all of thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And we choose this morning to hate every false way. Let us stand this morning, Lord, in awe of thy holy word. We thank you, Father, that you teach us how to live, that you have left us with the secrets of how to live. And this morning we pray that you will teach us some of those secrets, O God, and cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Insights into the true nature of human authority. I'm sure you know this is a vast subject. Its content is found throughout the Bible. As I look over the vast amount of principles that you find in the Word of God, I know that there are some principles that you can miss them. And you won't necessarily, your life won't necessarily go astray if you miss some principles in the Word. But this principle, this wisdom, the wisdom of human authority, if you don't understand it, if you don't walk in it by your own choice, if it is distorted in your mind, maybe from some past experience that you had. If you explain it away by your own human reasonings and say it can't mean that, whatever may be the reason that we set aside this principle and decide to chart a different course, it will not go well with you. I can guarantee you that. I think you will agree with me by the time I'm done that it will not go well with you. But if your heart opens up to what God says about this subject of human authority, beautiful blessings will unfold and come out of their hiding places in your life. Blessings that cannot be explained. You have to walk in them to truly understand them. You know, I was trying to figure out a way to illustrate the difference between hearing something and knowing something deeply within. Because this is one of those principles. You must taste it, or you will not know what I'm talking about. It's a little bit like honey. You know, I could stand up here today and try to explain to you what honey is and tell you what it tastes like. I could use words to motivate you and encourage you that if you will taste it, you will like it. I can give you experiences by which I ate honey and how much I enjoyed it. But unless you dip your finger into that honey jar yourself, you will not know what honey is. You will not know. You can be stirred by what I say. You can sit and think, boy, that sounds good to me. I mean, that honey, I think I would like to stick my finger in that. But until you put your finger in the jar and then put it on your tongue, you will not know what honey is. Because honey is something that must be tasted to know its value. And then you will know. And you know what you'll turn around and say to me, Brother Denny? The half was not told to me what honey really is. And I will say back to you, how can a man describe what honey is? All you can do is give half and hope that they will take their finger and dip it in the little jar and put it on their tongue and say, oh my God. Well, Brother Denny was right. That does taste good. Here, let me have some more. This whole matter of human authority is a bit like honey. You have to taste it to know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to try to motivate you this morning to dip your finger in the jar, but you will still have to dip your finger in the jar, or you will not know what I'm talking about. Some time ago, when I was in Africa, I was sitting with Pastor Gidi. He's the overseer of the Deeper Life Church in Ghana. He oversees 600 churches there in that land. And the Deeper Life Church is very clear on this principle of human authority. They're very clear on it. And I appreciate them for that. And they get some good results from it also, which we could learn a few things from. But we were discussing many things there, as we do when the two of us sit together, and I'm always trying to gain a little wisdom from him, and he also from me, and we're always going back and forth. Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you do in this situation? And we were sitting there visiting one day, and I began to speak to him about this principle of human authority. And it's very interesting to get an African's perspective on American culture. But he said these words to me. He said, "Ah, you Americans, you don't like authority." I was taken back a little bit by what he said. But, you know, we discussed it then. Well, I said, "Well, what do you mean we don't like authority?" He said, "You Americans, you don't like authority." Americans, they want to be their own boss. Americans, they're very independent. They're very individualistic. They want it their way. They've had the means to make it go their way for generations. You Americans, you don't like authority. Now, don't be too hard on him. He's just evaluating our culture, just like we go over there and evaluate their culture. He's evaluating our culture. And from their perspective, they look at Americans as a whole. And by the way, they started about 7 churches in America now. But that's what his evaluation was. We don't like authority. We want to do it our own way. I want to be my own boss. And I've got the money to make it that way. This whole subject of human authority, may God give us insight into the true nature of human authority. It's one of those things that from the natural perspective, you can look at it through your natural mind and find 50 reasons why you shouldn't follow those kind of teachings. It's one of those. Human reasoning says, "I want freedom." But in reality, the person who says, "I want freedom," is really saying, "I want to do it my way. I want to be my own boss. And I want to do it just when I want to." But that person who is seeking freedom with that kind of a motivation ends up in bondage. Ends up in bondage. People who look at human authority from human reasoning, they look at it and say, "Oh, that's bondage. That's bondage." But in reality, it's freedom. Isn't that interesting how those changed right there? We want freedom and end up in bondage. We look at what is true freedom and say it's bondage. But in reality, it's that taste of honey in all of its beauty. Track the lives of all the prisoners in this land of ours. I guess, Brother Jeedy, our prisons that are full and running over would probably be a testimony to Brother Jeedy's words that us Americans don't like authority. But here we are, you know, a child is born and grows up here in America, and as the years go by and they begin to develop their own independent ideas and attitudes, they begin to cast off restraint. You know, "I don't want to do what mom and dad say. I want to do what I want. I'm not going to do what the teacher says. I want to do what I want. I'm not going to do what my boss says. I want to do what I want. I don't have to obey the speed limit laws. I'm going to do what I want." And the young fool, the untaught simple one, who says all those things, thinks he's on the road to freedom. Boy, I got it made. I can do anything I want. Only problem is, you go down that road a few years, and you find yourself behind bars. "Oh yeah, you're free, young man, you're free. You just walk back and forth in that 10 by 10 cell looking through those bars. You are so free. You can do anything you want in there. Just live it up, boy. Just live it up. And bump your head against the wall and look out between the bars every now and then. You're free, man. You're really free. No, he's not free. He's in the depths of bondage because he said, I'll do it my way. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, I use that extreme example just to help us to see. I'm not worried this morning about anybody in this room ending up in one of those prison cells, but that's where the attitude of I want my own liberties can end up. And it doesn't go well with you. That which he thought was freedom ends up to be total confinement. Total confinement. Now God has surrounded us all with human authority. We have to come to grips with that. We must open up our heart to that, to the fact of it, to the reality of it, that the God of glory has surrounded us human beings with human authority. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, God says to the children, children, obey your parents, your human authorities in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. You want it to go well with thee, you must come to grips with this principle of human authority, children, that it may be well with thee. God says to the wives in Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I understand that to mean more than just wives, submit to your husbands, but submit yourselves to your husbands. That's much deeper than just doing what you're told, isn't it? Submit yourselves to your husband, God says, to the wives. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. To all of us, He says, in Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And in 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 13, God says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme ruler, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, by the king, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. To many of us, God says, servants, back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, and there are many places where we could look here, but God says to the servants, and for the sake of our message here today, God says to those who work for somebody else, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, God says, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So there, God speaks to those who work for somebody else, and there's a lot of us in this room that work for somebody else, isn't there? And then God speaks to us as a church and says that He's given us elders and that we are to obey them, elders that have the rule over us. There again, now that's church. And even for some in this room, you may have a school teacher who has been placed over you as an authority. But the point I'm trying to make is, looking at these verses, these many verses, we can see that God has surrounded us with human authority. Parents, husbands, government, our boss, church elders. Why, it just seems like we have human authority all around us. My testimony, when I went to Bible school many years ago, I found myself in a place where I was surrounded with human authorities. We had a pastor and his associates that we were to submit to there, the Bible school. The Bible school had a president, and he was in charge, and we were to submit to him, and there were leaders in the school, and we were also to submit to them. Then from there, they had teachers in every class, and we were to submit to our teachers and give our will over to them. And then on top of that, they had rules and order of the school. And we had to do what the rules were written down, and we had to do them while I was in school. They took older students and put them in charge of younger students, so that when I came there to that Bible school, they gave me a fellow who was a junior or a senior. He was 2 or 3 years down the road in the school from me, and said, "He's your boss. You stay close to him. He'll disciple you. He'll encourage you. He'll direct you." And then on top of that, I got a boss at work at UPS who taught me how to work. But all of these things came into my life all at the same time in my Christian experience. But for me, it was the teachable moment. I was so longing to be all that I was supposed to be. I remember coming to that Bible school and I thought, oh, this must be near heaven on earth. And I came there just young Christian, only about not even a year old in the faith. And I came to that school and I jumped in with both feet. And I said, "Yes, amen. Which way do you want me to go? How fast do you want me to go? When do you want me to get up in the morning? When should I go to bed at night? How many souls do you want me to save? How many hours do you want me to visit on Saturday? You want me to take a bus route? I'll do it. You want me to have a Sunday school class? I'll do it." And I just became an I will fellow when I was at Bible school. And I must say it was 3 of the sweetest years in all of my life, those days at Bible school. I was so free and carefree. I gave up my will to the will of others. And I prospered. Oh, how I prospered in those days. And I'm not saying that our whole life should be immersed in the will of somebody else. But for somebody like me, it was the best thing that ever happened to this rebel who had been so self-willed, who had rebelled against authority all the days of my life, to find myself in a school like that where every way I turned I needed to submit to somebody else and do what they wanted instead of what I wanted. It transformed me from the inside to the outside. It was a great blessing. Isn't it interesting that the all-wise God placed these authorities in our lives? God did that. You know, as I was praying and meditating upon this sermon and the principles in this sermon, you know, it's sad, but it's true. I was quaking a bit. How we will receive it this morning. And I was thinking that through and I thought, now why would I be quaking when wondering how the church will receive what I'm saying? Why should I be quaking? And I thought, well, maybe it's because, you know, we kind of look at authority like this, you know, we kind of back away and, you know, oh no, here he goes, you know, he's going to talk about authority and, you know, and we have a wrong view of human authority. And I don't know how much we are a product of the American culture that we've grown up in, but we may be more of a product of it than we even realize. And so, a message like this goes down a little difficult, and we're not sure, and you hear an illustration of this guy who goes to school and sells out to a whole bunch of other people, and you just think, oh, that's pretty extreme. He's talking, yeah, throw the whole thing out. He got extreme. Throw it out the window. Don't forget, I'm trying to convince you to take some honey and put it on your tongue, because I know that you will prosper. He's not here today, and I'm glad. Brother Dean, I don't know where he's at, but he's not here today. I remember dear Brother Dean. I remember when Dean got converted. You know, before he was converted, he was a rebel. He was against authority. Total. Very interesting to me, there was an African man here the night that Brother Dean got converted. And Africans, they tend to move in the prophetic in ways that we don't even understand. And here we are, we got Dean's down on his knees praying, and he's dealing with his hot rod car, and he's dealing with this, and he's dealing with that, and out of nowhere, this African speaks prophetically into Dean's life and says, and he doesn't know Dean from Adam. And he said, you've been a rebel all your days, and you need to repent of your rebellion to authority. Well, I thought, where did he get that? Except from the Lord. And Dean broke his heart and repented of his rebellion to authority. And it wasn't long after that that he came to our house. We needed a worker in lawn furniture. And it seemed better that he not drive so far. I think he was living in York at the time. Back and forth so far. So he started sleeping on the couch. And soon he had his own room. But it seemed to me that it dawned on Brother Dean where he was living and the opportunity that he had at his fingertips. And he said, I'm going to get under that man's authority. And he did. He pushed his way under authority and became like a son and wouldn't budge without a clearing from Dad. That boy prospered. And we who have been around here a few years, we know it so. That boy prospered because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I think I missed something pretty big on this matter of authority, and God is giving me another chance. And he got in there, and for 4 years, he just stayed right there. I mean, sometimes the guy wore me out with some of the things that he asked me. And I thought, you don't need to ask me that, but I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't cool him down. I wouldn't say that's too extreme, Dean, because I knew that he needed to learn some things that he didn't learn or wouldn't learn about authority. Oh, how he prospers even to this day. We see that young man prospering. Isn't it interesting that the God of the all-wise God has placed these authorities in our lives? And they're human. God puts human authorities in our life. Can you imagine that? I mean, why would he pick human ones? Human ones make mistakes. Human ones aren't perfect. Human authorities, sometimes their motivations aren't pure. But God puts human authorities all around us, didn't he? And it's also interesting to me that it's worthy of note that the same apostle who said, walk in the Spirit, walk by the dictates of the Spirit of God,
That Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8, that Apostle who wrote those words and told us to walk in the Spirit, he is also the one who taught us about all these human authorities. How can that be? You know, if you don't understand principles of human authority, you'll think that to submit to a human authority is contrary to walking in the promptings of the Spirit of God. But it's not so. In fact, if you understand this principle right, and you've taken off down a course of walking by the promptings of the Spirit of God, you will find, you have already found out, that many, many promptings of the Spirit of God come through human authorities. Like the dear young man who went into his room out of the dedication of his heart, got on his knees and said, "Oh God, I love you, Lord. I want to serve you, God. I'll do anything you want, Lord. Direct my life, God. I want to walk down the right path. In Jesus' name, amen." "Yes, son, it's Dad. Can I come in a minute?" "Sure, Dad." "Well, son, there's something that I'd like to talk to you about, son. I'm concerned about the music that you're listening to." "Music? What? Something wrong with my music?" "Nothing wrong with my music, Dad." "Well, son, I'm concerned about your music." "Dad, there's nothing wrong with my music. Look, everybody listens to this music, Dad." You get the picture? You get it? That boy just missed one of the promptings of God's Spirit. God was answering his prayer through a human authority. But he just wants to hear God's Spirit. He doesn't want to hear a man's voice. He wants to hear God's Spirit. "If God tells me to do it, I'll do it," they say. And it sounds very spiritual. But it's not very spiritual. I wonder how many of the promptings of God's Spirit are simply God using human authorities in our life. You think about it. With children and parents, how many times do your parents speak into your life? Then wives, God gave you a husband. How many times does your husband speak into your life? That's a prompting of God's Spirit in your life. Then we all have a government, and we must deal with the government. See? And you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you realize, "I'm going 65 miles an hour." You glance down, you know, and your speedometer says 65, but the speed limit over there says 50. That was a prompting of God's Spirit. But you didn't obey that prompting. You just kept right on going. Then God gave you another one. You saw the policeman sitting over there. Whoa, you got the prompting the second time, didn't you? But that was God. That was God working in your life. He gave you the warning the first time. You didn't listen to it. Then you saw the policeman over there. And man, your foot went over there. Boy, are you obedient or what? But that's God using human authority to direct our lives. You see how it works. And I'm choosing some of these, you know, the policeman, you know, that guy, he may even drink, you know. He may be a terrible father. He may be a guy that curses. But God is directing your life through that policeman. Do you see that?
Yes.
I wonder how many promptings of the Spirit of God come through our human authorities. I wonder how many times we lose our way in the Spirit because so many of the promptings come from human authority, and in our mind, we put that over here and God's Spirit is over here. If God tells me, I'll do it.
And all the while, God is trying to tell you through a human that He put in your life who loves you. Maybe an elder. Maybe a father. Maybe a mother. It may be a boss. Yeah, even a boss. Hey, maybe a heathen boss. What a revelation to see these principles work in a positive and a negative way over 20 years of ministry. What a revelation. This is no little principle, I tell you. I know talented, gifted men with a call on their life from God, without a doubt, who flounder for years and never have an effective ministry. Do you know why? These words. God is telling me. God is telling me. Just that little phrase. Which sounds so spiritual. And it can be spiritual, but it can be so carnal, so selfish, so independent, so I just want to do what I want to do, that it stinks and God can't bless you. And I know men like that who flounder for years when God would have a beautiful work for them. But they're out there letting God tell them. And for 10 years they flounder while God keeps telling them, but they always hit a brick wall. Every road God tells them to go down, they hit a brick wall and nothing happens. Is God telling them? I know others who simply come with a heart to serve and a beautiful submissive spirit, and a beautiful ministry unfolds before them. Sometimes they never even dreamed of it. They never even thought it would ever happen. But it just unfolds before them because of their sweet spirit. I'm telling you, God will not let you miss or skip this principle. He will not let you. Things won't go well if you skip this principle. If you say, I don't need any of that, honey. That doesn't look like honey. That looks like sour milk to me. I'm telling you, it's honey. It's honey, not sour milk. God hath hidden some of the most profound and powerful mysteries in honey that looks like sour milk from the natural eye. God hath done this. And He can. He's God. When I think about the principles behind this principle of human authority, 11 things come to my mind quickly. What comes? What flows into our lives when we begin to live in the beauty of the principles of human authority? Number one. Accountability. Accountability comes to us. What a blessing for someone to say, where were you? Or, where are you going? And, why are you going? These are good words, young people. You may not like them. You may think, that kind of grates me the wrong way. Why? Don't you trust me? Why are you asking me those deeper questions? Don't you trust me? I'm going out. Where are you going? And what are you going to do? And why do you want to go there? And when will you be home? Are you going anywhere else on the way? You hear those questions? Those are good questions. They're good. And by the way, they're good for the boss to ask too. And it's a blessing to have an elder ask you a question like that, and he's not out of his place to ask you, why are you wanting to do that? See? That's not out of his place.
We need accountability. Number two, the encouragement of blessings. God has chosen to flow blessings of encouragement through your authorities. God has designed a strength of encouragement and confidence that flows into our life, but God has designed for that to flow through human authorities. Through a human authority. Oh, the joy and the blessing of hearing an authority, maybe your father, maybe your mother, maybe your husband, to say, God bless you, son. I really appreciate the way that you handled that situation last night. God bless you, son. I mean, that thing, those words have power in them. They'll energize you from the inside to the outside. God does that through human authorities. The blessing of encouragement. Number three, correction. We need correction. The book of Proverbs says correction is the way of life. That should be a normal thing, to get corrected. Corrected again. Corrected again. And then again. Human authorities bring correction to our lives. And we need them. And we all know that we do. Number four. Human authorities bring the blessing of contrary counsel. They'll tell you what you don't want to hear. And that's a blessing for somebody, because they are an authority, to take the freedom to give you counsel that you don't want to hear. And that is a great blessing, to get counsel contrary to what you were thinking. This is good, not bad. Number six, protection. God has designed human authority to protect us. Sometimes authorities see things that we don't see. And if they don't say no, we're going to run into a wall down the road. And it's a protection to us. And God uses them to protect us from making mistakes. Number seven, we get training so that we can be in authority someday. One of the greatest schoolrooms, classrooms for being in authority is to be under authority. Did you know that? God trains men and women to be in authority by being under authority. You know, when I was in Bible school, it was my responsibility to work with 350 young people, and I had to choose leaders for 70 different bus routes. It's a little bit like the Lancaster Children's Ministry. You know, you have the purple route and the green route and all those different colored routes. Well, I had to keep leaders in 70 of those routes. And you know, in the beginning, I used to choose the dynamic ones. But I learned in short order that the dynamic one isn't necessarily the one that's going to make a good leader. And God began to teach me that until one is under authority, they will not be well in authority. And so I started looking for men that were under authority. And my job got very easy. All of a sudden, I had the right men in those places, those 70 places of leadership. And my job got much easier. All them high-minded ones that were so dynamic and they had the right answer and they knew what to do next, I couldn't give them any direction on nothing. They knew better than me. And my job was pretty difficult. So there's training for being under authority. God uses human authorities to purify our lives, our actions, and our motives, and to build character in us. God uses humans.
human beings to do that, to purify our lives. God takes the principle of human authority and gives us practical ways to learn humility. To learn humility. You know, when you have your heart set already to do this, and a human authority steps in and says, I don't want you to do that, then you have to bow your heart. And that rots humility in you. And that's good for you. And number 10, it builds our faith and trust in God, the God behind our authorities. Because you begin to realize that even though my authority is human, and sometimes their motives aren't all right, and sometimes they don't do things right, and sometimes they direct me with a bit of frustration in their voice, still, God works, turns, directs your life through those human authorities, and you can look back and say, look how God changed how my dad thought about this and so. Look how God did that. Well, I am amazed that God did that. Well, He is a big God, and He can do those kind of things. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He will turn it whithersoever He will. Now, He may not turn it in 2 days, like you would like, but He can turn. You don't turn a river in 2 days, by the way. You know, but He'll turn it. And then your faith and confidence in God goes up. You see, it's the matter of the will. This whole matter of human authority, it is the matter of the will. Oh, the will. Yes, the will. Just like we all know that the secret to the salvation of the souls of our children is in bringing their will into subjection, so also that principle works in any area of human authority. It's the matter of the will. I want my way. But human authority steps in and says, give up your way. And if you give up your way, you will find grace flowing in your life. It's a matter of the will. And that is shown so clearly in the clashes that we have with authority. Isn't that right? When we clash with authority, what's the clash? It's the matter of our will. I want to do this. And I'm going to do it. And so if someone comes to me and tries to get me to change my will, well, I may change my will, but we're going to have a wrestling match before I change my will. And we're going to just discuss this thing for 30 minutes, and I'm going to run you around a few times, and yes, you may put the pressure on me, and I'll have to bow my heart. But oh, the power that comes into your life when within those interactions with authorities, you quickly give your will to the will of another. The power that flows into your life. Now, I want to make some applications, and you may say, brother, you're already making applications, but I'd like to make them a little deeper yet, now that we've looked at these 10 points. 10 valuable insights into the true nature of human authority. These are the things that happen in our lives as we learn to relate properly to the human authorities that God has surrounded us with. These 10 things happen, and maybe you have some more. But I'd like to make some more applications, and I would like to make them twofold. First of all, to those in authority. to the parents, to the husband, to the boss, to the elder. We want to make some applications from your perspective. Because sometimes it's not so fun being a human authority, is it? And sometimes, you know, it's not the most popular thing to be exercising human authority in somebody's life. And it's much easier to just, you know, don't do it. But look at what they'll miss if we say, it's too hard. I don't want to do it. Look what they'll miss. They won't have the accountability. They won't get the encouragement of the blessings that come. They won't get the corrections. They won't have any contrary counsel. They won't get any direction in their lives. There won't be any training for authority. No purifying. No practical humility. No protection. No faith. Parents, think about that today. God has designed that we as parents function in all 10 of these areas in our children's lives. But some parents say, I'm not much for being an authority. We can't do that. It's not right for us to rob our children of what they would get if we would become the human authority that God wants us to be. But then I also want to make these applications to those under authority. Look at these 10 privileges you get. God has given you human authorities. What a privilege you have. Are you convinced of that? Or maybe you haven't tasted the honey. And so you don't see it as a privilege. Parents over children. Children under their parents. Oh, listen to me. Children, it is no little mistake if you choose to cast off restraint and not do what father and mother want you to do. That is not a little mistake. You will miss many of these principles here. They will not flow to your life. God has designed for these things to flow through a human being or two that He calls your father and your mother. That's God's plan. It's His design. You won't get it if you don't yield to it. And parents, they won't get it if we don't exercise it either. And it's not right that they not get it. It's not right. They need someone to say, where are you going? They need that. They need someone to say, no, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go this time. They need that. But that's not popular, is it? That's not so fun. May God help us. How about husbands with their wives? And wives under their husbands? You need these 10 things in your life. God gives you all of these through a human authority called your husband. And husbands, you say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to ask my wife. Where are you going, dear? And what are you going to do there? I don't want to ask my wife that. it may not be peaceful for a couple of hours in the house if I ask her a question like that. But God wants to direct your wife through you. And if you don't, if you say, for the sake of peace, I'm not going to do these things, well then for the sake of peace, she will miss all these things in her life. Because God has chosen to funnel accountability through you. And encouragement of blessings through you. Blessings that you give as you see her come under authority. And dear wives, it works the same way for you. Do you want to miss all of this? You may say today, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come under that. I'm not going to do what he says. You don't know my husband. Oh, you know all the things that come to our mind. You will miss these things. One of the most powerful, prosperous ways in which you can go on in your Christian life is learning to give up your will to somebody else. And God has given you a husband. You can give up your will. What about masters and workers? You know, we live in America. And it's really nice, you know, living in America. And we have lots of money. And there's lots of jobs. So we hardly know what God could do in our life through a boss. Because, you know, if it doesn't go well with a boss, no big deal. I'll just go get another boss. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to do what this guy says. I don't like the way he talks to me. I'm going to get me another job. Don't do that so quickly, my friend. You may be missing one of the greatest lessons of your life. That God wanted to work in you through a human authority. Some years ago, when I was still in Hammond, Indiana, I needed a job. And there were no jobs. Kind of like, you know, in Africa, you know. No jobs. See, over there they can't say, I don't like my boss, I'm going to go get another job. There is no other job. If you get a job, if you even get a job, but if you do get one, you won't throw your job away because there are no other jobs. But there were no jobs in Hammond, Indiana. It was during recession. And I tried to get a job here, you know, for $8 and $9 an hour. And I tried over here and I tried and there were no jobs. One day at church, they made an announcement that there's a man who needed somebody to help him cut wood. Anybody who needs a job, come to the front after the service. I went. The man stood there. He's a big guy. Stood there and he looked at all of them. There was a bunch of them there looking for jobs. And he asked one question. He said, anybody married here with children? Nobody else's hand went up but mine. He said, you've got the job. You've got the job. $3.50 an hour. But I didn't have a job. Right? He said, told me where to meet him. Said, we'll go to work tomorrow. So I showed up there and I got in his truck. We're driving down the road to go out into the woods to cut wood. And he looks over at me and he says, so, you're Denny Keniston, huh? I said, yes, yeah. He said, I heard about you. I heard about you and what you did in the school. And I mean, and he proceeds to tell me that he thinks that God has ordained him to make a man out of me. And he just smiled at me, this big old fella, you know. He said, I believe God sent you my way to make a man out of you, boy. And I was 30 years old, by the way. I thought, whoa, what am I getting into? But there are no jobs. so I can't run away, right? So we started cutting wood. And he's a big fellow, I'm a little guy, and he cut these big logs, you know. He cut the tree, and then I had to get the logs up to the place where the man split them, and I had to get the tree limbs out of the way. He'd cut a tree limb off, and I had to get it out of the way. And then he would cut the thing in the logs, and I had to get the logs up here. And I mean big logs. This big, little me, big logs. And all the while I'm trying to get these logs up, he's standing there. You sissy, you. What's wrong with you? You can't pick those logs up. And I pushed, and I lifted, and I hurt my back to this day doing that job. And one day when we were cutting wood, I didn't get the branch out of the way quick enough. And he grabbed that branch and hit me right across the face with that branch. Smack! Right across the face. But there are no jobs. What am I going to do? I had to bow my heart. That's what I'm going to do. And you know what? He did make a man out of me. But not the kind of man that he thought he was going to make out of me. Because I had wrong ideas about leadership, which were put in me in Bible school, you know, drill sergeant type leader, you know, do what I say, go where I want, jump, and I'll tell you how high, and all that kind of stuff. And God slowly changed my whole idea of what a leader is supposed to be. And I learned about servant leadership underneath that fella and what he put me through. Because there were no jobs. And I couldn't get out of it. But just think if I would have got out of it, what I would have missed. God did some powerful things in my life through a human authority. What about some of you young men? You know, someday you are going to be in authority. Are you learning how to be in authority? By being under authority? Are you learning how to bow your heart? Are you learning what it feels like when your authority is a little off today? You know that someday you will also have the opportunity to be a little off today and let the others know it, but you'll remember what it was like being under an authority who is a little off today, and you'll think, that's not the way to do it. I want to learn. You know, many, many young men never learn to be under authority in their homes. And then all of a sudden, you know, they do grow up and they go the way that most go and they get married. Then all of a sudden, they're an authority. But they don't know how to be an authority. You know, it's a little bit like a little child. You know, a little child, first, new mothers know this, first they grow, they develop their muscles in their hands, don't they? You just put a little toy in there and they grab that thing and their muscles in their hands get strong. But after their muscles in their hands get strong, then they develop muscles in their arms. But imagine what it would be like for a child who didn't develop the muscles in their hands, but the muscles in their arms were developed. And I mean strong muscles. You can throw that arm out there and make it go anywhere, but the muscles in the hands can't grab anything. It's an arm that doesn't function right, isn't it? That's a little bit how it is sometimes with young men who don't learn how to be under authority. They find themselves in a place of authority. Boom! Here I have a wife! Boom! Three children! Oh! I'm in charge. I'm the head. I'm the boss. And if they didn't learn how to be under authority, I tell you what, it's like an arm that doesn't really know how to function right. And the problem is that people suffer, and wives suffer, and children suffer under a man who never learned how to be under authority. How How do you find it? Do you find yourself in conflict in one of these areas? The American response is, boss, I'm quitting. Husband, now in America, I'm leaving. But for us, we wouldn't leave, but I'm withdrawing, right? Parents, well, you can't run away, but I'm just not talking. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just not going to talk. How about a conflict with a leader in a church? No problem. I'll just find a reason why I don't like the leaders in the church and go find me another church. There's lots of churches. We're church rich in America. Don't rub me the wrong way. I'll go get another church. Right? Oh, there's so many lessons that we could see here in this. So many lessons. One young man who came to me for some counsel and guidance, he was on his own. He had no job and he wasn't in the church, but he was claiming deep spirituality in his life. You know what I told him? I told him this. Find a family where you can submit to a father. And go get a job where you have to be there every morning. And join the church where you can bow your heart to the will of others. Then I'll tell you how spiritual you are. I told him. But he wouldn't do any of those three. Spiritual? Not really. Not really. Not really spiritual. Just seemed like it because he has no authorities in his life. I'll say this in closing. My son Daniel, all through his life, these principles were at work in him. He had his needs, just like all boys do. He became an individual, like all young men do. 13 to 19, we had a few skirmishes with authority. Some disagreements. Oh, he always bowed his heart. It always came out right. But there were those skirmishes, you know. I think I know better, etc. Then Daniel went to Africa for 6 months. And there he had 3.5 months of overflowing blessings as he was ministering in Africa. And God captivated his heart like that during those 3.5 months. Then one day, he was way out in the villages where no water is. And he had no water long. And he was very thirsty. And it was 12 miles by bike back to where the water is. And an old man gave him a cup of water in the village. And he looked at it and it looked a little cloudy. But he was thirsty. And he didn't know what else to do. So he drank it. And what he did is he drank a cup full of hepatitis. That's what he drank. And for the last 6 weeks in Africa, he couldn't hardly eat. He laid on his bed. He vomited. He was awake most of the nights and all of the days. And he just lay there on his bed. But there on his bed, God talked to him. And he dealt with some issues in his life. And when he came back from Africa, he looked like he came out of a concentration camp. But when we met him and spoke to him and heard him speak to us, we knew immediately something is totally different about this boy who came back.
You see, he had dedicated his life to God there on that bed sometime. And we knew it right away. But do you know the way that I knew the best that something had happened to Daniel? No more fight. It was all gone. No more will. No more my way. No more I've got a better idea. None of it was all gone. And you know, it's so interesting from an authority's perspective. Once I saw where that boy was now at, I knew he doesn't need my authority anymore. And I started backing away. Because I knew he's going to make the decisions that he knows that he should make. Before that, I was around him like this. Where are you going? When are you coming home? What are you going to do there? Why are you asking all those things, Papa? But all of a sudden I knew, this boy doesn't need me anymore. So here I am saying, he doesn't need me anymore. And all the while I'm saying, he doesn't need me anymore, he's coming and saying, Papa, I need you more than I ever needed you. What would you do about this? And what do you think about this situation? And what about this direction in my life? And what should I do with my time here? Isn't that interesting how those two worked? Whereas before he was saying, man, why are you always asking me all these questions? Well, now I don't feel like I need to ask them. And he's over there begging for them. And I knew this boy is consecrated to God. And I could tell it because he was consecrated to me, his father. And oh, the joy on that night when he had the send-off service, you know, we had the send-off service here. And I thought about it. He's leaving with the blessing of the elders, with the blessing of his parents, with the blessing of the church, with the blessing of the mission board, with the blessing of the administration in Africa. What a blessing to leave with. All those human authorities saying, go, Daniel, go and prosper, boy. Preach the gospel. Do the will of God. You have our blessing. Go do it, young man. What a blessing. I mean, that'll pick you up and carry you over to Africa. Well, I'm only trying to get you to taste the honey. But I tell you, it's sweet. It's very sweet. May God bless.
Amen. Bless God. Honey is sweet. And so is the reality of this in our lives, if we could just taste it. I want to open it up to share, but I'm almost not sure whether to give an altar call or, because I just wonder if there's some here who haven't tasted it because of that matter of the will, brother. Because that matter of the will. And you know, the problem with that is we deceive ourselves, don't we? Because the heart is deceitful. You know, you think, that's not me. I'm not like that. I don't do that. All the time, you're doing it, you know. I wonder if there's somebody here that has been deceived in their life and they don't really see where their heart is at in this thing. Whether it's with your husband or an elder in the church or with a boss, or it doesn't matter really who it is, because if we'll look, we are all surrounded by human authority of some type, aren't we? You don't have to be in Hammond, Indiana to be surrounded by human authority. You can just be in a church, can't you? You can just be in a church. It's one of the blessings of being in a church, isn't it? God can surround you with brothers that the Bible says submit one to another. You know, there's the authority of just the brotherhood, isn't there? There is a check and a balance and a safety if we'll allow it to work in our lives. Well, let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. I thank you for speaking this morning. I trust you will work on the hearts now of this, your church. Father, we want to be your church. And to do that, we need principles like this, not just in our head. We don't just need right theology. We need reality and practice. And I know that takes faith, Father, so may our theology and our faith combine to a real practice and application. Thank you, God, for your love. Work on our hearts now. And Father, if there be someone here today that has not settled this matter of the will, do your work, Father. Have your way among us. Bless those that will now share, Father. And maybe there'll be confessions, maybe there'll be testimonies, maybe there'll be further applications. Father, we ask you to speak to us now and use the church. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do want to open it up this morning, and we'll have a microphone. You could raise your hand and mind the Lord that we would edify the saints, and maybe there would be a testimony. Maybe there'd be a confession this morning. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. I don't know. But I think there are many things here that God could do and would like to do in your heart and in my heart. So we'll open it up here for a bit of time. You raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you so you can share. Down over here.
I was really blessed this morning in the singing of the hymns. That line that says that the name of Jesus is music to my ravished ears. And as I was thinking of those words, sometimes a little sermon can be spoken in a few words of song like that. And it's true. In the world, there are so many things entering into our minds and into our ears that the simple truth and the things that Jesus speaks are so, they're like music. It's like, now that's true. And I appreciated the service this morning. I have been a rebel and guilty of pretty high rebellion. And it's a blessing to me to be able to say that and confess that. I have been a rebel. And I thank God for forgiving rebels. I thank God for His forgiveness and His cleaning and for the kindness of God that continues to turn the eyes to see that rebellion and see a better way and offer up hope and say, this is a better way, and give opportunities for that. I thank God for that in my life. When I was young, I thought I ought to share this morning. I believe that there is a deception that the devil uses and speaks into our hearts when we're young. And in my life, it went like this. Well, I'm not going to believe it, and I'm not going to do it unless you persuade me that it's true. And I believe that is an American philosophy. Each person must be persuaded. The job of authority is to persuade those under that authority to go his way. But it's not logical. It's not rational.
That's right.
And that, if you take that reason to its end, then there is no need for authority. If God was going to come to each Christian, and the authority in the church is only there to only speak those things which God speaks to every individual, then the authority is not needed.
That's right.
But it's not true, not only in church authority, but in governing authority, in family authority. The overseer sees things that everyone else does not see, and he does not need to explain it to every person. And things move so much more efficiently and smoothly if he just says, wait, let's go this way. And everybody says, okay, and goes that way. And in this nation, many lives have been saved by using seatbelts. While we were praying for safety and my rebellious heart, I was raised in a family and we would not use seatbelts. And then the law came out and says, you shall use seatbelts. And that was one of the first times in my life I wondered, is God using this authority? I mean, is it reasonable that everyone should have to be persuaded of the value of seatbelts until we use them? Then what's the use of law? But it's not. A lot of lives have been saved, and it's God using authority in our lives.
Thank you, brother.
I may not have a hard time convincing you to taste honey, because you probably don't have any reason to disbelieve it. If you tell it it's food and you tasted other food, or you say it tastes like sugar, some other thing that you like, you describe it somewhat, and it shouldn't be hard to get you to taste honey, and especially if you say that it's a little bit of each flower. Flowers smell good, and if a bee collects a little bit of each one and you put it together, what would that taste like? That would be good. I can get you to taste honey. But if I'd say it tastes a little like sugar, and for some reason you had a reaction to sugar and you almost died from it, you got sick from it, and you want to stay far away from sugar, then it would be harder to convince you to taste honey. And that's the way it is sometimes with authority. Maybe you had a bad experience with some authority, and now you want to throw out all authorities.
That's right.
And that's a mistake, that you reject all authorities because somebody misused their authority and you had a bad experience. So I would say don't do that. Cast out all authority because of some mistake, because it is necessary and need in your life. And I'm still learning it in my building business. It seems there's so much of a government regulation, and each one is different, and it varies how it gets used. So I'm still learning that I need to bow under that authority.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.